Mr. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Archuleta, Atkins, Bates, Bell, Borges, Bradford, Caballero, Chang, Dodd, Durazo, Galgioni, Glazer, Grove, Hertzberg, Hill, Hueso, Hurtado, Jackson, Jones, Leyva, McGuire, Mitchell, Monning, Morlock, Morrell, Nielsen, Pan, Porchettino, Roth, Rubio, Skinner, Stern, Stone, Umberg, Wyckowski, Wiener, Wilk.
Colleagues, a quorum is present with the members and our guests beyond the rail and in the gallery. Please rise. We will be led in prayer this afternoon by our chaplain, Sister Michelle Gorman, after which, please remain standing. We will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag by Senator Portantino.
Let us remember that we are in God's holy presence. Gracious and merciful God, we pray for the power to be gentle, the strength to be forgiving, the patience to be understanding, and the endurance to accept the consequences of holding on to what we trust to be right. May we know the power of good and the power of love to create a new world where fear and selfishness no longer lead people to commit injustice or bring suffering to others. We pray for vision to see and faith to believe in a world emancipated from violence. Help us to devote our energy to the task of making peace and inspiring all to contribute their gifts for the preservation of humanity. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good afternoon, colleagues, and good afternoon to the young folks in the gallery. Welcome to the state capitol. And also a welcome to the state capitol by our former colleagues. Colleagues, if we could give a very nice warm welcome to Senators Rod Wright and Kevin Murray, who have joined us here on the floor today. Welcome back. And of course, also a fond welcome to our friend and colleague, Fran Pavley. Former Senator Pavley is with us as well.
Ron, I mentioned it.
Welcome back. Colleagues, we will now proceed to privileges of the floor. Under privileges of the floor, starting with our pro tem, Senator Atkins, the floor is yours.
She's working.
I'm getting ready to introduce a dignitary from Cuba. Thank you. Which you're all welcome to.
Colleagues, if you could please give your attention as Senator Atkins will be presenting our distinguished guest.
Madam President, thank you so much. It is an exciting day on the floor. We are welcoming longtime friends and new friends to the chamber, so I certainly understand the excitement. But I am very excited to introduce and welcome another person here today. We are flying the flag of Cuba this afternoon in honor of a very distinguished guest that we have right here beside me. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Mr. Miguel Frega, the first secretary of the Embassy of the Republic of Cuba in Washington, D.C. Mr. Fraga has served in this position since the reestablishment of diplomatic relations between the United States and Cuba in July of 2015. Many of us feel very good about those relationships. A number of us have been to Cuba quite a few times. I've had the opportunity to go on two occasions. I see a number of my colleagues here who have also made that trip. So we're especially pleased to be able to have you here today. Previously, Mr. Fraga served his country in the North American and U.S. divisions of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs at the Cuban Embassy in Canada, one of our other partners to the North, and as a member of the Provincial Parliament for Havana. Mr. Fraga has traveled far and wide across the United States, visiting universities, nonprofits, officials at all levels of government to help build stronger relations with Cuba. Many of you will remember his most recent visit to this chamber just in 2016. 2019 marks a year of great change for the island nation of Cuba. President Miguel Díaz-Canel has put forward a rewrite of the Cuban Constitution. If many of you were paying attention to the news yesterday, you saw that vote. It hasn't been revisited since 1976. The referendum on the new Constitution was held yesterday, February 24th. He returns to California, our capital, to share information about the new Constitution and the 500th anniversary celebration of the city of Havana later this year. It is a real wonderful time to welcome you. And he did inform me prior to coming in when we had a chance to visit that more than half, Madam President, you will be particularly pleased to hear, more than half of the parliament is women, are women. And so I told him we have a ways to go. We only hope to emulate the work that you have done in Cuba. So please join me in welcoming our friend, Mr. Fraga, back to our chamber.
A warm welcome to our distinguished guest. That also produces some of the great baseball players who play in our leagues here in the United States. And thank you for joining us today. Next, Senator Skinner, would you like to make an introduction to our introducing our exuberant young folks up in the gallery? Colleagues, if you could give your attention to Senator Skinner, please.
Thank you so much. We want to give a warm Senate welcome to second and third graders that are here joining us from Vinson Academy in West Oakland, and they are here as part of their work on their Building the Dream Black History performance. So they're learning about government. Hello, St.
Welcome
Vincent
to our chamber. Oh. To the raucous folks from Oakland. Senator Mitchell, do you have, all right. Please give your attention to Senator Mitchell at Senator Hertzberg's
desk. Thank you, Senator Hertzberg.
Yes, colleagues, if you would. Please give your attention to Senator Mitchell. Senator Mitchell, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Happy Monday, colleagues, our last Monday of Black History Month. I rise today to commemorate the contributions of a very hardworking, important nonprofit organization in my district, A New Way of Life, and their reentry legal clinic. More than 7 million Californians, or one in three adults in our state, have an arrest or conviction record. These arrests and conviction records often negatively affect the lives of formerly incarcerated individuals. especially in terms of employment, housing, opportunities, and education. I had a conversation recently with a young man who's an activist, a formerly incarcerated individual who's an activist who is beautifully, gainfully employed, is able to buy a home, but because of his previous conviction, he can't be an active member of his homeowners association. You can buy the house, but you can't be on the homeowner, elected to your homeowners association. Things for us to think about, colleagues, as we work hard to reduce recidivism and support reentry services. Again, in many instances, these social and legal barriers to reentering society impact California parolees and their attempt to reenter. Seeing the need for reentry relief in LA, a New Way of Life Reentry Project and the Critical Race Studies Program at UCLA School of Law jointly established a pro bono legal clinic to help California residents overcome reentry barriers. Since the reentry clinic, legal clinic has become, since then, the clinic has become the largest pro bono legal clinic of its kind in Southern California and one of the foremost experts in legal issues related to collateral consequences of mass incarceration in our state. To date, the reentry legal clinic has filed over 8,300 petitions for post-conviction relief. Remember, colleagues, several of our ballot initiatives have created the opportunity for people to have these their records expunged, but there is a legal process that you have to go through to manage that process, and this legal clinic is helping California residents get it done. When individuals or organizations see a need in their communities and tackle tough challenges to meet that need, these organizations complement the work we do here as policymakers to make California an equitable and thriving state. Again, on behalf of the residents in my district, I'm honored to recognize and congratulate a New Way of Life Reentry Legal Clinic for 10 years of outstanding public service.
Colleagues, let's join in our appreciation for the work of this outstanding group. Colleagues, are there any other privileges of the floor? Seeing none, we will move on to messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read and amendments adopted. Under motions, resolutions, and notices, are there any motions, resolutions, or notices? Seeing none. We will do the introduction on the first reading of bills. Mr. Secretary, please read.
Senate Bill 541, 542, 543, 544, 545, 546, 547.
First reading will be deemed read. Under consideration of the daily file, we are at consideration of the daily file. We are at assembly third reading, file item four. Colleagues. If we could have your attention, we are at file item four. Mr. Secretary, please read.
Assembly Bill 149 by Assemblymember Cooper, an act relating to controlled substances and declaring the urge thereof to take effect immediately.
Thank you. Senator Pan, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam President. Senators, today I rise to bring you AB 194 by Assemblymember Cooper. AB 194 will allow patients to resume filling prescriptions for critically needed medication by delaying the implementation of a new requirement on security prescription pads. This delayed implementation will allow the Department of Justice time to ensure that serial numbers on security prescription pads are valid. It will also allow prescribers time to comply with the new requirements and relieve the administrative burden of individually verifying certain prescriptions on a case-by-case basis to ensure patients can receive their prescriptions in a timely fashion. This is about cutting through some administrative issues that have come up and being sure that patients can get their medications. This is an urgency measure that has had no votes, and I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Pan. Any debate or discussion on this item? Debate or discussion? Senator Stone.
Thank you, Madam President. I strongly support AB 149 in that the legislation had a effective date of January of 2019 prior to physicians being able to get these serialized prescriptions to monitor controlled drug use here in the state of California. So it put pharmacists certainly in a quandary because we weren't receiving any of the new blanks, and yet we had legitimate prescriptions for legitimate controlled substances that put us in harm's way. The State Board of Pharmacy, fortunately, put off the enforcement until such time that we saw legislation like we're seeing here today. This is a common sense piece of legislation to allow the administrative facts of enforcing this new law come to fruition so that pharmacists and physicians comply, and I appreciate Senator Pam bringing it forward.
Thank you, Senator Stone. Any further debate or discussion on this item? Seeing and hearing none, Senator Pan, wish to close?
I respectfully ask my vote. Thank you.
Very good close. All right, all debate having ceased, Mr. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen?
Aye.
Aye. Archuleta?
Aye.
Aye. Atkins?
Aye.
Aye. Bates? Bell?
Aye.
Borges?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Aye. Caballero?
Aye.
Aye. Chang? Dodd?
Aye.
Aye. Durazo?
Aye.
Galgioni?
Aye.
Aye. Glazer? Grove? Hertzberg?
Aye.
Aye. Hill?
Aye.
Aye. Wesso?
Aye.
Hurtado?
Aye.
Aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Aye. Jones?
Aye.
Aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Aye. McGuire?
Aye.
Mitchell?
Aye.
Aye. Monning?
Aye.
Aye. Morlock?
Aye.
Aye. Morrell?
Aye.
Aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Aye. Pan?
Aye.
Aye. Pochettino?
Aye.
Aye. Roth?
Aye.
Aye. Rubio?
Aye.
Aye. Skinner?
Aye.
Aye. Stern? Stone?
Aye.
Aye. Umberg?
Aye.
Wachowski?
Aye.
Aye. Wiener?
Aye.
Aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Aye.
Please call the absent members.
Bates? Chang?
Aye.
Aye. Glazer? Grove?
Aye.
Aye. Stern?
Ayes 35, no 0 on the urgency. Ayes 35, no 0 on the measure. The measure passes. Colleagues, that it completes our daily file items, and it is time now to return to motions and resolutions. This is the time to address the adjourn in memory motion. Do we have any adjourn in memory? Senator Nielsen.
Madam President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, it is my honor to ask you to acknowledge and adjourn in honor today of one of our own esteemed former members, Senator Jim Ellis. Jim Ellis was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and moved to Colorado as a young man. Served 22 years in the United States Air Force, four tours of duty in Vietnam. He was a Crusader pilot. He was accorded for his service the Bronze Star, two Distinguished Flying Crosses, three Navy Commendation Medals, and the Air Medal. Certainly a very accomplished aviator for the United States Air Force. He served us well. Came back home to San Diego and started a car rental business. Started with two vehicles. He ended up with 200. And like many, Jim Ellis got perturbed with how government was treating him, a tax that had been imposed on the cars. So he decided to do something about it. And he was elected to the city council in San Diego. I believe he served 3 years there before he then ascended to the state assembly, served in the state assembly for about 3 years, and then came to the California State Senate. I had the privilege of serving with Jim here. He was a member of the Rules Committee of this House for some time. He worked in many areas. He cared a lot about disabled youth. He worked on property tax reform. And he preceded Prop 13 with his efforts to reform that onerous property tax burden that was taking our elderly out of homes and making it harder for people to ever secure a home. So he kind of preceded Prop 13. He did not choose to accept and run for a third term in 88. He then came and served 2 years, I believe, on the Agricultural Labor Relations Board. Jim Ellis was always driven by what was right. He was a soft-spoken member of the House, not belligerent or argumentative, but forceful and convicted. And he fought in the right manner, consistent with the senatorial courtesies we value here, and served well the constituents of San Diego as a member of this body. He married a former employee of his, who then became a California State Assembly member, Carol Bentley. Carol also served some time in the Board of Prison Terms after her retirement from the Assembly, and she and Jim established residence in San Diego and were regularly seen bicycling around their community. They were indeed quite a power couple. We extend our sympathies to Carol as she misses her Jim, and we wish that Jim, who served us so well here on earth, will serve the Lord well in heaven. May we adjourn in Jim Ellis's memory, Senator Jim Ellis, one of ours.
Thank you, Senator Nielsen, and of course to his family and to all the Senate family, condolences. Senator Bradford, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam President. Today I rise to adjourn in memory of a great American by the name of Andrew Aaron Jr. Mr. Aaron was a military veteran, a community leader, father, neighbor, and a mentor of mine. Born in New Orleans, Louisiana, during the height of the Great Depression, Andrew Aaron was the second of four sons born to his father, Andrew Sr., and his mother, Naomi Fields Aaron. Affectionately known as June by his relatives, Mr. Aaron acquired many nicknames during the course of his life. As a young man, Mr. Aaron answered the calling to serve his country and enlisted in the military, a segregated military nonetheless. Serving his first tour of duty in Japan, he climbed Mount Fuji and secured one of his many famous nicknames of Fuji. While serving his second tour, he faced combat during the Korean War conflict and was injured in the line of service and later being awarded the Purple Heart. While enlisted, Andrews became friends with his fellow New Orleans, Mr. Fallon Bush. While on break, he visited Mr. Bush's home and met Mr. Bush's sister, Geraldine, and he immediately fell in love with her, and they married in 1952, and they've been inseparable as partners for 66 years. Their family grew to include three daughters, three grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren. After relocating to California, Mr. Andrew Aaron worked briefly for the United States Post Office, attending the Los Angeles City College and Woodbury University, and while continuing his military service in the United States Army Reservist. His integrity, discipline, and selflessness would ultimately allow him to retire from the Army with the rank of major following 30 years of honorable service. Having an undeniable commitment to a life of service, Mr. Aaron obtained a Bachelor's of Science degree in accounting before dedicating 25 years to United States Customs agent. But that wasn't enough for him. After retiring from that position, he started his second career as a United States Marshal's Office. He was a consummate volunteer in LA County and the city of Gardena. He shared his leadership and sage advice with several community organizations, such as the Gardena Second Time Around Seniors Club and the 9th and 10th Cavalry Association of the Buffalo Soldiers, an organization that he loved to the end of his life. A man of profound faith, he was a proud member of the Olivet Lutheran Church for 40 years, where he sang in the choir and served as a deacon. Mr. Aaron's memory and legacy will be kept alive by his wife and their family. Mr. Aaron's life will forever shine and stand as a beacon of hope for all of us who strongly believe the purpose to improve the quality of life for our current and future generations. May we adjourn in Mr. Aaron's memory. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. And if you would make sure that you bring his name forward so that we can properly memorialize his memory. Senator Wiener. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, it's with a very, very heavy heart that I ask that the Senate today adjourn in memory of the elected public defender of the city and county of San Francisco, Jeff Hidachi, who suddenly and very, very tragically passed away on Friday evening. His death was a complete shock to San Francisco, to our political world, to our community, a great, great leader in our city, and I think we're still, all of us, in a state of shock. Mr. Hidachi was in the public defender's office for 32 years, starting as a young lawyer, as a line deputy, working his way up to be the chief trial attorney in the office, and then ultimately in 2002 was elected as our city's public defender and has held that role for 16 years, having been elected four times. Jeff was really just a unique persona in San Francisco for many reasons. He wasn't just your typical public defender. He understood that the role of a public defender was not only to go into court and defend your clients. Yes, of course, that is a critically important role. But he viewed the role of the public defender's office much more broadly, to advocate for reform to our criminal justice system, to advocate for everyone unable to advocate for themselves, working in the community to support at-risk children, working to support undocumented immigrants in our community, working to support people living on the streets. Again, not just those in the criminal justice system, but everyone in our community at risk. In doing that work, Jeff was not afraid to ruffle feathers. Yes, of course, he would fight with the district attorney's office or with the sheriff or with the police, and he fought hard. But as someone who spent 6 years as a member of the Budget Committee of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, I can tell you he was not scared to come into City Hall and fight with the Board of Supervisors and the mayor to make sure that his office was funded at levels where they could provide the service and to serve justice for everyone who was in need. He took what was already a really, really good public defender's office and made it, I believe, among the very best public defender's offices in the country. He just elevated this office on so many levels. And it is hard to imagine moving forward. I know my heart goes out to his family, but also to everyone in the public defender's office who will have to move on, and I know that they will, but it will be hard without Jeff. Jeff also, he was a Renaissance man of sorts. Not everyone knows he was a filmmaker. He made several feature-length films, several short films. He also wrote a very well-regarded bar preparation course for people taking the bar. And he would, at times, tutor people for free who were struggling with the bar. He was just one of these people in very quiet ways, in addition to very public ways, believed in helping people. He grew up here in Sacramento, the son of a car mechanic and a laboratory assistant, and he is survived by his wife, Matsuko, and his daughter, Lauren, in addition to the hundreds of people, attorneys and staff, in the San Francisco Public Defender's Office who miss him dearly. So colleagues, I ask that we adjourn in the memory of our great public defender, Jeff Hidachi.
Thank you, Senator Wiener, and indeed a loss for the people of San Francisco. He was quite a great representative of his service to the people. Are there any other adjourn in memories, any other motions or resolutions? Seeing none, Senator Atkins, the desk is clear.
Madam President, thank you so much. We will reconvene on Thursday at 9 a.m. Have a good and productive week.
Thank you. The Senate will be in recess until 3:30 p.m., at which time the adjournment motion will be made. We reconvene Thursday at 9 a.m.